I just want to share that Philippians passage with you again. Especially the first words, the opening words. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The death of a criminal. The death of disgrace, dishonor. That's what our Lord did for you and me. Why? Because his heavenly Father asked him to do it. As I was thinking of a sermon title today, I got a little chuckle. And I'd written down one title, and then I marked it out and said, how well do you take directions? And what I was thinking about, ladies, since there's usually more ladies here than men, is how easy is it to get the men in your life to take directions? Especially if they're driving somewhere. And they're obviously lost. How easy is it to get a guy to take directions? How easy is it to get him to stop and ask for directions? Boy, that's even harder. There's something about having to follow directions that I guess being Americans, maybe that's just human nature anywhere in the world. After driving in Europe, I don't think they worry about directions a whole lot. But it seems to me that we kind of think that limits our freedom if we have to follow directions. You know, it's the same thing at Christmas time when you're putting stuff together for the kids. You know, one of the things I always had to deal with my son about was, you know, when all else fails, read the directions. It's kind of like, I'm a man, you know, kind of like Tim the Tool Man. I got all these tools in my shop. I'm smart. I can put stuff together. And then it just doesn't fit. Or you put it together and you got like 8 parts left over. You know, that just might be essential to your child's safety and well-being. Read the directions. Follow the directions. Of course, some guys make sure they put together stuff like that, you know, out in the shop or someplace. So if they got 8 parts left over, they can just put them in the trash can and nobody knows. What is it about us that resist being directed, told what we need to do? Why does that so limit our freedom? God certainly must have felt that way. You know, he gave us the Ten Commandments, the law, sent prophet after prophet after prophet. And you know what the message was? Follow the directions. Centuries of speaking to human beings and say, follow the directions. Listen to me. I created you. I'm the engineer. I am the manufacturer. I put you together personally. I know what will make you happy, fulfilled, live a longer life. Follow my directions. And he gave us this book through the centuries that we've fought to have. So we have direction, and yet we don't follow the direction. Oh, I remember reading some of that when I was a kid. I don't need to read that book every day. I don't know about you, but, you know, I still need it because I know I really need direction. And the more I'm in God's will, the more I need God's direction. The more I want to do the godly thing, the more I realize there has to be a lot more God and a lot less Mike to follow his direction. And yet we resist. See, Lent is a good time for us to struggle with the idea, are we following God's directions? Are we really listening to God? Are we searching ourselves to see how obedient we really are to Him? That's a wonderful opportunity in the drama of the church year for us to re-examine ourselves and to do a kind of checkup. You know, it just seemed like it was just weeks ago that my mother was doing fall cleaning, and now she's doing spring cleaning again. You know, it's that time of year where you go to your closets, you pull stuff out, stuff you hadn't been using, you give to some needy charity, and you get it all taken care of. And it amazes me, every fall and every spring, like clockwork, she is going to reevaluate what is in her closets, what she needs and doesn't need. And I can honestly say that my mom does that about her spiritual life too. Some of my most valued conversations with my mom is about the Word of God and our spiritual life and talking to God and interpreting what God is saying to us and sharing those kinds of things. And I look forward to this July celebrating her 80th birthday. And I'm so thankful to have a mom where we can just share together as one adult to another, as one child of God to another. But you know, there was a time I really resented her giving me directions about everything, telling me what to do, and how I rebelled against that. But thank goodness she didn't give up on me. She hung in there even though I was resisting. I don't know where we were. I think it was here at church the last week or two. We were talking about getting whippings, getting a beating. My last one, I mean, I've gotten a lot from life, but my last one from my mother was when I was 16 years old. And I still remember that baby. I mean, I was old enough not to forget when she pulled out that belt. It was probably about taking directions. And we were in this kind of standoff because I was 16 years old, and I wasn't going to cry, and she wasn't going to stop hitting me with that belt until I did. So, you know, we just had that sort of resistance, that standoff. Are we doing that with God? Resisting His direction for our lives? And He loves us more than any parent ever could have. He is so, so patient with us. You know, they're coming out with a new Ten Commandment movie. And we all have this icon of Charlton Heston sort of being the voice and the sound of God in our lives. That's going to be changed if you tune in and watch this tomorrow night. But what I've read about this, it's about the real Moses. Charlton Heston wasn't the real Moses. I mean, he was too strong. He was too confident for the real Moses. The real Moses was more like you and I. He struggled. He didn't want the job. He did everything he could to get out of the job and didn't go forward with a great deal of confidence. He learned to have confidence in God by following the direction, by submitting to the direction of God, by hearing the voice of God again and again and again until it became second nature to him. But Jesus gives us some directions that if we want to be disciples, He says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. And He really didn't have any idea, I don't believe, when He said that, to take up a cross. In any form, in any shape, or any size. You see, it was Jesus' destiny, divine destiny, to die on a cross. A Roman cross with the disgrace of a criminal who was treated as if he had no rights whatsoever. That was his destiny. That was his cross. When he said we have to take up our cross daily, he is saying we have to take up what God considers to be our destiny and live it out daily. That God has called each of us to something special in our lives. And we are so genetically different that mathematically there is no way there have been enough people on earth and probably ever will be that each unique call on each person will never be repeated in the history of the world. That if you don't fulfill God's call, specific call and claim on your life, the world will never see that. But God's going to accomplish his plan whether you do that or not. But he'd rather you follow the directions. Be a part of his plan. It was no accident that Jesus was born exactly when he was born and came into the world. I think it's the Gospel of Mark. It said, when the time was right, he started to preach. He waited 30 years because he was waiting for the right timing. And you know, it's no accident that you were born, when you were born, and where you were born, and have had the life, situations, and circumstances that you've lived through. That's a part of your destiny. That all of those experiences, all of those hardships, all of those difficulties have been there to shape your life, your character, your attitudes, your expectations for life. That you were given your unique personality with all of the preferences we have in our uniqueness just to equip you for that special call and claim upon your life. And it's supposed to happen in your lifetime. And it amazes me, the people who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and aren't one bit concerned about their unique call in life. I'll just go to church and do good stuff, kind of good stuff. I mess up every once in a while. But not be worried at all about you have a destiny that no one else can fill. And that some of us have lived our whole lives and never discovered what that unique destiny is. Now, God can get where God wants to go without us doing that. But that's not the way he wants to live. He wants us to be a part of his destiny for the world. And he's going to be patient with it. He is going to work on you till the day you die to get you to discover your destiny. And that's the cross you're supposed to pick up. God didn't intend us to be little Jesuses. And there's almost a sense in which what would Jesus do isn't a real good question to ask. I mean, it's a good question if Jesus is just an ethical teacher. But there's a bigger question. What does Jesus want me to do? Because I'm not like Jesus. I don't live in the time that Jesus lived. I don't have the gifts and graces that Jesus had, but I have mine. Do you hear God calling you? Whispering, follow me. Take up your cross. Pick up your destiny and follow me. That's all I want from you. Just be who my Father created you to be. Spend some time discovering that. Because you're going to be with me again in heaven. And we're so wrapped up in the how-tos, we forget our destination. You know, you go on MapQuest. Isn't it wonderful that you can go on the computer and call up MapQuest or Yahoo Maps or any of the number of map things? But the two things you've got to do to make it work is put in your address and where you want to go, your destination. And then it'll give you all kinds of routes. You can even plan in side trips and excursions and all kinds of things. But the idea is to get from where you are to where you want to go. Now, we say we all want to go to heaven. But, you know, we're taking so many side trips and excursions and sightseeing tours that I wonder how many of us are going to make it to the final destination. Because we're not too worried about the final destination. Oh, we got a good loving God. Oh, he's going to get me there. I don't have to worry about it. Well, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, he who does not take up his cross, her cross, and follow me, is not worthy of me. We need to be a little concerned about the destination. What's the cross we're supposed to pick up? Let's don't think about it as a symbol of suffering and shame. What's my destiny? How do I pick it up to get where God wants me to go? That's what he's calling on for us. You know, we don't see red a whole lot as a paramount. And I'm glad Pam and Barry decided to do this today, because this is Passion Sunday. And so we use the color red for blood, passion, sacrifice. Are we going to sacrifice a little bit? Are we going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit that's symbolized in this dove to find our destiny, to pick it up and follow it? Because it's God-given and God-ordained. What will you do as you prepare yourself for the celebration of the resurrection next Sunday? Will you go into that celebration with a renewed sense of who you are in Christ Jesus and why God put you here at this time, at this place in human history to fulfill his will? That's the most important question of your life. And I hope you'll search for the answer. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, thank you for being so patient with us, because we don't like to follow the directions. We don't like to read the direction book. We think we're so smart we can figure it all out, or we decide we want to have a lot of fun and we don't care. But you care. And if we don't discover that destiny and fulfill it, something that you wanted to accomplish through us will not be accomplished. Now, you're so big and mighty that you don't need us to bring about your plan, but you want us. Thank you for not giving up on us. Keep whispering in our ears. Keep putting up signs in front of our faces. Let us know that you still want us to find that special place that we have with you. But we ask your blessings upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.